Welcome to the Victory Family Church podcast. Thanks for joining us today. For sermon notes and videos related to this message, please visit media@victory.com.
All right. Hey, this weekend we're getting into the final teaching of Jesus Is. This is going to be a little bit different in that we're going to be praying for people at the end, and it's our normal length of service, but I'm going to shorten the message today because it's not intended to be an in-depth, in-breath teaching on the subject of the healing power of God, but to create an atmosphere for you to be prayed for to receive God's power. How many of you believe that God is a healing God right now? Amen. He's faithful. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we desire and have experienced and want to experience today that healing power right in the middle of this service. Now, one of the ways God heals, of course, in our lives is physically. But there's other ways as well. There's our emotional lives and dealing with the hurts and wounds of our heart. We just finished small groups with Pastor John Spencer leading life and Pastor Paul Peterson leading all the small groups. And we've had a great season. I mean, just a great season. And the life program, Living in Freedom Every Day, after that, when they finish the curriculum, they go through the retreat. How many of you have already been through life? Raise your hand. Is it incredible? I mean, I can't tell you how important. I mean, it's incredible for you to go through that. And just at the retreat this year, they had 17 people at the retreat give their lives to Christ, and 40 people were baptized with the Holy Spirit just at the retreat alone, not to mention what God did in their hearts. So it was an incredible time, and I want to encourage you to avail yourself to it. Now, we're going to talk about the healing power of God today. If you have deeper questions, which you probably do, one of the things I'd like every one of you at some point through our small groups to take time and go through is what we call faith life training. It will talk to you about how to believe God in your life, how to receive what Jesus died to provide for in your life. Pastor Chris Palmer leads that. He's our Joel Osteen lookalike pastor. Stand up, Chris. You got to look at him. People tell me he looks, come on, stand, make him stand. Come on. Come on, Joel. Come on, Joel. Stand up. Oh, man. That was pretty weak. My niece sat behind him one weekend. She said, Uncle John, she said, you know Joel Osteen? I go, yeah, honey, I know Joel. And she said, you didn't tell me he was coming to church. I said, honey, what do you mean? She goes, he was right in the front row. I said, no, honey, that's our Joel Osteen lookalike, Pastor Chris Palmer. So anyway, it's all right, Chris. Listen, hey, look, you're only one on the front row right now. You're the last one to abuse. But Chris leads Faith Life Training. If you haven't gone through that yet, please avail yourself to that as well. But if you don't understand what's available to you as a Christian, because you see, I was raised in a religious environment where you really weren't taught to expect God to show up in your life in the now. That's not a criticism. It's just a fact. In fact, when it comes to healing and receiving from God, most people, most Christians don't even understand where sickness comes from. They attribute it to God. Now, if you think God's making you sick, how can he make you well? I mean, it's so backwards what people understand from the scripture. Let me read to you out of Psalms 103, verse 2. The scripture says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. And bless the Lord, O my soul, forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins, who heals all your diseases. How many of you believe he forgives your sins? Well, the same verse here tells you that he's the God that heals your disease. Now listen to this. Who redeems your life from destruction. I mean, you could just stop on that half of that sentence. God's will in my life is to redeem my life from destruction. When I talk about issues like gender issues or sexuality issues, as a Christian, if you dial that knob two clicks the wrong way, you will make God harsh and harmful to people. When God moves in a person's life about issues where the scripture talks about either sexual brokenness or sinful behavior, God moves in my life, not because he's against me, but because he wants to redeem my life from destruction. That's his heart. He said, I want to forgive your sins. I want to heal your diseases. I want to redeem your life from destruction. I want to crown you with loving kindness and tender mercies. He said, I'll satisfy your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Notice the heart of God for people. And I have to just be candid with you, just honest. That's not how I saw God growing up. I really saw God as my punisher. And if you're not careful, even though you might be learning the scripture today, down deep in the way you think about God, you don't see him as the one to bring you life and life abundant. You see God as a punisher. And it is impossible to receive healing from a God that you believe his motive to minister and move in your life is to bring punishment to you. Can I tell you that there is a justice in God? In all of the wrath of God and all of the punishment of God that was due me, he poured out on himself when he was born of a virgin and Jesus became the Word made flesh and God in the flesh. And he died on that cross and all of the wrath of God that was due me was poured out on him. And when you give your life to Christ, he received your judgment and you receive his righteousness. It's an incredible exchange. And that's what he's simply trying to get across, is that don't forget his benefits. You can't obtain a benefit you don't know about. And most people would never forget their benefits in natural life. Let's say you went to the doctor. It was a $400 doctor bill. And you had this great, great insurance that all you had to pay was $20 copay. How many of you'd like that insurance? But the doctor messed it up somehow in their systems. And you get a bill from the doctor's office for $400. Is there anybody here who would just simply pay it? Or would you call them and say, hey, listen, there's a mistake. My insurance will pay, $380. I'm only supposed to pay you $20. How many of you would just simply pay the $400 and not go back to your benefits and impose your benefits on the situation? Anybody here just throw away the $380? I don't think so. So you wouldn't forget your benefits when it came to something as throwaway as money. But when it comes to receiving from God, there are benefits. He said, I don't want your past, your sinful past, to dominate you. I want to forgive you of your yesterdays. I want to heal your body. I want to redeem your life from destruction. I want to crown you. Listen to what that means. I want to encircle you. I want to envelop you with my kindness and my tender mercies toward you. God's mercy is his desire, his ability, and his willingness to treat you better than you deserve. That's the heart of God. And when God brings healing to your life, when God does any of these things in my life or your life, it's not something you've earned. It's not something you've worked for. It's not something you've made God do for you. It's an act of mercy. Anything you ever receive from God is an act of grace and mercy because he loves you, not because you've earned it or not because you've done the list of 56 things, because it's his love for you that causes him to want to minister into your life. In First John chapter 3, verse 8, listen to these words. He who sins is of the devil, the scripture says. And actually, in the context, it's talking about a person who unfetteredly practices sin. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifest, that he might destroy or undo the works of the devil. The purpose of Jesus coming was to destroy or undo the works of the devil, to undo them. So it would be very important to understand what are the works of the devil. What comes out of darkness? What comes out of light? And when you attribute what comes out of darkness to what should be what comes out of light, you're confused. Jesus came to destroy and undo the works of the devil. How many of you believe he was successful in his mission? Well, then it would make sense to understand, what does the Bible define those works to be? Look at Acts 10:38, referring to Jesus. It says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. I want you to notice the scripture attributes disease and sickness not to God. It attributes it to the other kingdom. And the scripture said Jesus went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. Now, sickness, that doesn't mean it's a demon or a satanic possession. That's not what it's saying. It's saying there's a kingdom from which it comes. And Jesus came to undo those works. And he said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. The words that I speak are not my own, but the Father who sent me. If you want to see what God does and what God doesn't do, all you have to do is look at the ministry of Jesus. In fact, Hebrews says in times past, in the old covenant, God spoke to us and to our fathers by prophets. But in these last days, his voice, his mouthpiece is his Son. If you want to see the will of God, all you have to do is look at Jesus in the flesh, and you will see the heart of God toward you. In fact, you'll find the only people that Jesus was harsh to were people that were self-righteous. And the religious crowd. You will never find Jesus ever being unkind ever to a sin-stained or broken person, no matter what they were, no matter what they did, no matter how broken, no matter how sinful they were. In fact, he was criticized by the religious crowd by being called a friend of sinners. How many of you know he's still a friend of sinners? Well, can I tell you this? Is that then we ought to be a friend of sinners too. The church ought to be a place where broken people can come and let a Savior rescue their soul and not have to jump through 17 hoops. This is a hospital for the sick, not a museum for the well. This is a place where you get to come as you are and we fight through life together. We don't redefine good and evil because that's evil. But we know that there's a God who wants to crown you with loving kindness, tender mercies. And he loves you with an everlasting love. But religion can so twist how you see God. I know in my own life, I just saw God as the one who brought your trouble, not made it better. I always saw God as, you know, eventually he was going to find out all the stuff I was doing because, you know, he doesn't know till you tell him. And he was going to get even with me. Not once or twice, but more times than I can remember in 30 plus years of ministry. Now 35 years of ministry. I can't count how many times people have come to me, and I'll give you like a synopsis in one kind of issue. Pastor John, such and such happened to us. I was in a car accident and my son was in a car accident, had both of his legs broken, compound fractures. It's a horrible situation. And then here's the next sentence. But I know God has a purpose. What do you think the purpose was? To break your kid's legs? You think God designed and God intended for your child to be in an accident? You think God did that? Because that's the insinuation. Well, you know, we can't understand God. Oh, what would you think of as a parent if you said to me, your child had been in an accident in the same condition, and I said this to you? You did that for a purpose, didn't you? Would you be offended just a little bit? Is there anybody here that would not be incredibly offended if I told you that you had some good in breaking your kid's legs? Yeah, but God's ways are higher than our ways. We can't understand him. You're absolutely right. The Bible says his ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. But they're not evil. If God did what we accused him of, he should be in a heavenly prison. You can't receive healing from a God that you think is your enemy. In fact, there was a time in the scripture where Jesus was ministering on the Sabbath day. And there was a woman who was bowed over with a condition, meaning she was literally bent over for 18 years. She was bent and she couldn't straighten herself up. And on the Sabbath day, Jesus ministered to her, prayed for her, and immediately she was made whole and she stood up straight. The ruler of the synagogue was so angry and indignant. Jesus was there present, but he didn't address Jesus. He spoke to the people. And he said, there are 6 days in which men ought to work. On those days you come and be healed, but not on the Sabbath. And Jesus was not very, you have to understand something about Jesus. He didn't walk around people see Jesus like this, with carrying rose petals. No, man, listen. He was so kind to the broken, but to the religious crowd, he went in the temple one day and started flipping tables over. And he took a whip to people. He wasn't doing tricks with the whip. He was beating people till they left the temple. How many of you know that's a little bit different picture of Jesus than the one we see, where he walks around like this? Jesus, listen. He was direct toward people who were oppressing people. He told the religious crowd, he said, you lay burdens on people that you yourself cannot bear. And you don't lift a finger to remove those burdens. You make them twice the children of hell they were before you got them. He called them hypocrites, snakes, vipers, death-trapped people. He said, you're like a tomb. You clean the outside, but you're full of death and extortion and stench on the inside. He was really plain. And so he said to the ruler of the synagogue, who was talking to the people and went around him, Jesus didn't talk to the people. He talked to the ruler of the synagogue and he said, you're a hypocrite. He said, you hypocrite? Does not each one of you on the Sabbath day take his animal away from the stall and get him water? because that was permitted on the Sabbath, because you shouldn't let your animals suffer because of the limitations of what you were allowed to do on the Sabbath as far as work. And then I want you to listen to what Jesus said about this woman in Luke 13, verse 16. And he said, "So ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham," meaning a covenant with God, "whom Satan hath bound, think of it, for 18 years, be loosed from this bondage on the Sabbath?" Jesus called sickness a satanic bondage. He didn't call it some tool God uses to teach you. He said it's a bondage. And he said, "You hypocritical leader." And see, we see Jesus saying this, "Thou hypocrite." Or no, better yet, because you know Jesus spoke it was English. Do you ever see the movies with Jesus? How come he always speaks English? Like, "Oh, thou hypocrite. Why doth thou do such things you see? Tip, tip, cheerio, let's have some tea." I mean, where's that come from? I mean, Jesus didn't go, "Thou hypocrite." He went, "You hypocrite." And don't you know the room got quiet? He said, and let's use it in everyday language. He said, "You hypocrite." Now, if it were Steve Moore, he said, "You stinking hypocrite. Every one of you takes care of your animals on the Sabbath day because it makes sense. You don't let your animals suffer on the Sabbath day. You hypocrite. This woman has a covenant with God. And for 18 years, she's been this way. Think of it. You couldn't care less about her condition. You care about your stinking rules. You hypocrite. Shouldn't this woman who has a covenant with God be loosed from this bondage that the kingdom of darkness put on her on the Sabbath day?" And he was ashamed. Well, he should have been. And he'd plead the same case for you today. Ought not you, being a child of God, be loosed from the bondage of sickness on any given day? Why? Because he loves you. Not because you sought God, but because he sought you. Not because you've made promises to God, but because he's made promises to you. And today I want you to come to a point of just believing that the God who died on the cross. In fact, the scripture says it this way: "He who spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely give us all things?" You know, I'm going to show you a brief healing testimony video of Kathleen Smith. Can I tell you why this is really personal to me? You know, every day of my life, every single day of my life, there's not a day that goes by that I don't in my heart have an overwhelming gratefulness to God for healing mercy. And I won't give you the story today, but many of you know the story of our son who was born, of course, he was autistic, and he was 4 years old and he couldn't speak. And he it was horrible. And many families in our church are struggling with these conditions of their kids. That's why we serve families of special needs in this church, because we know what it's like. And I remember him being tested at 4 years old. I have the test. And at 4 years old, he tested at 18 months. It's when his development stopped and everything. And I remember being sat down, Michelle and I, telling us there's no cure for this. And back at that point, there really wasn't a lot of treatment either. And the medical people were wonderful to us, but it was devastating. And yet we believe God over his life. And God miraculously, by his mercy, listen to me, not because of anyone's holiness, but because of the healing power of God and the mercy of God, he healed him. And he began to recover. And then he had to learn language. He was 4 years old, almost five, and didn't know language. And if you know anything about autism, it steals a child's ability to communicate. And I say this not to boast in my son or to boast in anything of any human doings. Can I tell you this? I know where my son was headed in life. I know what was his future. But this week, my wife and I are going to get in a car and we're going to drive to New York City. My son's going to graduate from an Ivy League university. And you know what? Do you know what autism takes as language? And he can read and he can write in English and Spanish and French and Italian, a little bit of German, and now some Arabic. You talk about the healing power of God. Oh, God, thank you, thank you, thank you. Now, here's all I know. I know that God's good and the devil isn't. And that, yeah, this little bit of theology, Jesus said, I've come to give you life. Satan came to steal, kill, and destroy. That's the dividing line. And here's what I want to do today. I want to pray for you that need healing in your body. But before we do, I want to make sure everybody in this place knows Jesus. Would you bow your heads with me before we go any further in the service? I want to make sure everybody here knows Christ as their Savior, because that's the most important thing you can ever do in your life. And then we're going to pray for the sick today, and we're going to believe God over your life. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus as the Lord of your life, if you were to draw your final breath and slip into an eternity, do you know where you'd spend it? With heads bowed and eyes closed, if you'd like to be included in a prayer to invite Christ in your heart, I'll pray for you right where you're seated. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. Say, Pastor, would you please include me in a prayer? I want to know Christ as my Savior and Lord, and I don't know that I do. Please understand this. Jesus said there is a heaven to gain, there is a hell to shun. And when we die, we go to one or the other. And there is only one way of eternal life, and that's by making Jesus the Lord of your life. And he died on an altar of a cross to pay your debt and mine. So if you're here today and you don't know Christ as the Lord of your life, you'd say, Pastor, please include me in that prayer. I'll pray for you right where you're seated. The whole church, in fact, will pray the prayer out loud and together with you. With every head bowed and every eye closed, say, Pastor, please include me in that prayer. Right where you're seated, I'll pray for you. The whole church will pray the prayer out loud together with you. Say, Pastor, please include me in that prayer. Would you lift your hand real high right where I can see it? Do it right now, and I'll pray for you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you, sir. Thank you. Listen, it's the best decision you'll ever make in your life. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. You can put your hands back down. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you, young man. God bless you. Listen, if you raised your hand or you should have, pray this out loud where you hear it. Jesus will come into your heart. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. Pray it where you hear it. Say, Heavenly Father. Now pray it where you hear it. Say, Heavenly Father. I come to you in Jesus' name, and I believe with all my heart that Jesus is the Son of God. He died on a cross to bear my sin debt. I open the door of my heart, the door of my life, and Jesus, I invite you in. I receive you now to be my Savior and to be my Lord. Thank you for coming. I am now a child of God. My sin is washed away. I am heaven bound, and I confess boldly that Jesus is the Lord of my life. Amen. Amen. Give them a hand, would you? Best decision of your life. In a moment, I want to show you just a brief video of Kathleen Smith, who was, gloriously healed in her life. And I'll give you some of the background after the video, and then we're simply going to pray for people. And here's what I'm believing for. That the healing power of God will flow into your body, whether it's minor, whether it's incurable. Whatever it is, nothing is impossible for our God. And we're going to believe God to see his healing power right now in this place. Can you believe God with me for that? Amen. Amen. Take a look at this video. Praise God.
My name is Kathleen Smith. My husband and I relocated here about 6 years ago from Iowa. Through prayer and confirmation in our hearts, both Rod and I believe that Victory was our family church that we were supposed to attend. We attended Pastor Craig's Thursday morning healing class at the church, and neither of us had ever been sick or was sick, but just to have the opportunity to learn more of the Word. Something that we really appreciate is the teachings that we have at Victory, and we wanted to take it all in. So 3 years after attending the church, Rod travels often. He was out of the country. He was in China. A normal day for me, and I went to bed fine. And in the middle of the night, I woke up and I was in a lot of pain. I ended up calling our son and to take me to the hospital. And they got my pain under control and did tests. And the ER physician came back to me shortly afterwards when the test results came in and said, we have bad news. We found a 6-centimeter mass in your abdomen, and we need to take care of this right away. From there, we went to the first doctor appointment. At the doctor appointment, Dr. Alex told us that my blood tests showed a high cancer level. marking. And it took me right back to several years prior. My mother had died from ovarian cancer. Her mother died when she was a little girl. They called it stomach cancer. And I thought, it stops here. It's not going to continue. I am breaking this curse off of my family. I have daughters, I have granddaughters, and it will not go. So Rod and I came home and instantly went to prayer. Everything that I had learned since I came to Victory on God's power, the authority that we have in our life, came flooding up to my mind and in my heart. And I was like, I'm healed. Jesus said that by the stripes that he bore, I am healed. I wanted to be retested so that I could show that I didn't need the surgery. And the ultrasound, unfortunately, showed that the mass was alive and well and active. And so they did the surgery. They removed the mass. And by the time I got home, my phone rang. And it was Dr. Alex. And he had shared with me the cells and the tissue that they removed around this mass actually did have grade 2 of grade 3 ovarian cancer. So that was where I got the real, it set in that it was like, oh my gosh, it's cancer, you know. And especially when he said ovarian, it hadn't been that long ago that we buried my mother, and I know what she went through. And I said, God, you tell us in Ephesians 6:13, when I've done all that I can do, I stand. And I put the Bible on the floor and I stood on it. I said, God, your word is truth. I believe. I believe that you healed me, and I'm gonna stand on this truth. And so I did. And I knew that I was being directed, led, and guided, and told in my spirit man that I did not need the treatment. And I said to Dr. Alex, I said, well, you know that I have great faith in God and I believe in his word. And Dr. Alex, thank you. Thank you for everything. I don't want any treatment. I don't want any medications. I don't want any chemo. I said, I'm gonna stand on the word of God. And what I chose to do was, instead of going to the hospital for chemo treatments, I decided to go to the Word. I read scriptures over and over, Dodie Osteen's book. I took pictures of my grandchildren and I stuck them in Dodie's book. And every morning when I opened up the book, my grandbabies' faces were right there and I would kiss them. And I would thank Jesus that he gave me those grandbabies. And I knew it wasn't his will for me to leave. I remember many nights thinking, what if? And hearing the diagnosis and the reports, they were like playing over and over in my mind. When the thoughts would come, I would just have to say, but that isn't what God says. That isn't what God says. And every day it just got stronger and stronger. And I just knew that I knew that it was not God's will for me to go. He has a calling, a plan, and a purpose in my life. In August, Rod and I, we were sitting on our back deck before church on a Sunday morning. Dr. Alex contacted me and he said, I thought you'd like to know your most recent test results. He said, they just came in, and he said, you have completely normal blood work. And I just screamed. I mean, I just screamed, and I just fell to the ground, and I just, on my knees, and I was like, yes, yes, God, your word is true. You are true. You are faithful. You are good. You are awesome. I mean, I just was in awe how awesome God is. And that was 3 years ago. I am healed. I am the healed of the Lord. Rod calls me. He always says to me, hey, babe. Hey, healed of the Lord. How are you doing today? I am the healed of the Lord. I will always be healed. And it shall never come back upon me again. Nahum 1:9. After that, this shall never come back upon me again. Hallelujah.
Isn't that awesome? Now, let me make just a point of clarification for you, because I want you to hear the right things. Kathleen was led in her heart not to get treatment. She's not telling anybody else to do that, and she continued on with her medical care. Now, I know the surgeon, he goes to our church. He's one of the top surgeons literally in the country, and he's the first doctor I've ever met who came out of Harvard Medical School, and so he's a brilliant man, and she's continued with the follow-ups, and she's cancer-free, and God's faithful. But the point I wanted you to see is maybe you're not dealing with something as difficult and maybe as life-threatening as Kathleen was. Maybe you aren't dealing with something like Michelle and I were or did with our son. But can I tell you, no matter what you're facing today, the God you serve and the God we serve loves you. And he didn't do what he did for Kathleen because she's holier than you, or God loves her more than you, or for us. He didn't do what he did for us. He did what he did for her, and he did what he did for us because of his mercy. And mercy is his desire to treat you today better than you deserve. Before we go any further, I want people in this room who have in your life already experienced the healing power of God, where you know by the power of God, he made you well in an area of your life, in your past. I want you just to help people perhaps today that may be struggling with that understanding. Maybe because they may be like me from my background. I had no idea of this kind of stuff, that God could still move in this way for people. If you've ever had God do that for you in your life, as just an act of thankfulness to God, and to share it just by standing, your testimony with others, would you just quickly stand so we could thank God for what he's done in your life as well? Isn't God good? Isn't he good? Isn't he good? Isn't he good? Thank you. Thank you so much. Y'all can be seated. And now I'm just going to ask you to do something really simple. If you need healing in your body, I don't care what it is. If it's something minor, if it's something major, I don't care what that might be. We want to pray for you today. And I want to pray for you over your life, for the healing power of God to flow into your body. I've watched God heal hundreds and thousands, literally, of people through the years. But can I tell you something? Forget the tens and hundreds or whatever. What about you today? He loves you. And he wants to manifest his love for you. You say, Pastor John, I feel like I need more understanding and information about this. Then if begging would do it, I'd beg. That at some point, I want everybody in this church to go through life, living in freedom every day, through the small group, and everybody in this church to go through faith life training. Those are two things that will heal you on the outside and heal you on the inside. I don't have words to encourage you enough. And Kathleen took some of those steps. And I'll tell you, it's always best to build your ark before you get in the middle of the storm. But no matter where you find yourself today, no matter where you find it yourself in your relationship with God, can I ask you this as well? You say, you know what, Pastor John? I don't even have a relationship with God. I didn't even give my life to Jesus today. I'm just here because someone asked me to come. But you know what? Would God do that for me? He loves you. He loves you. And I want God, I'm praying that God will heal you no matter what your relationship with him is like. Because it's a manifestation of his love and mercy, not a manifestation of your holiness. It's because of his love that we can experience these kinds of things. So if you desire healing in your body, in a moment we're going to pray, and then I'm going to have the worship team just lead us in through one song, and they'll dismiss us. But if you need healing in your body as an act of faith before God, would you just simply stand right where you're at, and I'm going to pray for you right where you're standing. Stand up right now if you need healing in your body, right where you're at. And we're going to believe God over your body now. I'm going to pray in the name of Jesus with authority over your body. There was a man in the book of Acts that was healed. And the scripture said when Peter and John walked and at the temple gate called Beautiful, and this man had never walked, and he was raised up and healed and began to walk and leap. The people began to run toward Peter and John, and Peter said, "Whoa!" And they began to almost worship. And they stopped and said, no, this didn't happen because of our own holiness. This happened because of Jesus. Because of the name of Jesus Christ, and faith in his name is why this man is healed and strong before you. Don't look at us like there's anything. There's nothing in us. And can I say to you today, that same name of Jesus is available to you right now. The same Jesus that healed while he walked the earth, the same Jesus that healed through the book of Acts, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I want to pray over you right now. If there are people close to you nearby, I'm just going to ask them. The Bible tells us to lay hands on the sick. If you wouldn't mind, now don't pray over them where you scare people. Don't hit them on the head and pull their head. Just lay your hand on them. Because remember, it's not our intensity that heals people. It's God that heals people when we call upon his name, okay? So if you're standing by somebody, you can just get a hand on them. That would be wonderful. And let's pray together. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And nothing is impossible with you. You said we are to come to your throne boldly to obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. And so, Father, I come boldly today to exercise the authority that's in the name of Jesus over these precious people. And so in the name of Jesus, I speak to every condition in their body. And I command every disease to depart and for the healing power of God to flow into their body from the top of their head to the soles of their feet, driving out every malady, every sickness, anything that is malformed in their body, causing them disease. Father, I speak over those things in Jesus' name, and I proclaim the healing power of God over them. I thank you that you are more than enough to move in their life. And I thank you that your power is at work in them right now, affecting both a healing and a cure in them. So in the name of Jesus, receive healing to your body now. Father, I thank you for that. I worship you in that, and I call it by faith. By faith, I thank you in advance before we see or feel anything. In advance to seeing anything, I thank you that healing power is at work in them right now. For many right now, even being made whole instantly in this room. And many as they go their way will begin to amend. I thank you that as that power is at work in them, it just is driving out any sickness in their body. In the name of Jesus, amen, amen, amen. If you receive prayer, lift your hand right now and just thank him for it. Father, I thank you. I thank you for it. I thank you for it. In Jesus' wonderful, wonderful name, let's just all stand together and worship God together before we go our way.
Thank you for listening to this teaching from Victory Family Church. We pray that you were blessed by God's word. For additional teaching, resources, and podcasts, as well as information on who we are and our upcoming events, please visit our website, lifeatvictory.com.